And from the KTOL Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. Chief of Police Derek Boss says the Juneau Police Department is taking action to reform its policies after an officer was filmed slamming a man to the ground during an arrest in July. Last night, Boss presented the findings of an internal review of the department to the Juneau Assembly at a committee meeting. Overall, he says he believes the officer's actions don't reflect his character or the department as a whole.
I firmly believe he's a good officer who made a very bad mistake on that day.
The presentation comes nearly 2 months after former JPD officer Brandon LeBlanc's arrest of the man circulated widely online and prompted a public outcry. LeBlanc has since resigned. Chief Boss said that following the incident, the department has updated its policies for requesting medical assistance when someone loses consciousness. Additionally, he says officers learn tactics at the state's basic training academy that do not align with JPD's expectations and policies. He says the department is now developing plans to address that disparity in its training. Boss went on to defend the department's hiring standards. That's despite assembly members' concerns about LeBlanc's background. A man previously sued LeBlanc for excessive force and battery while he served as an officer in Louisiana. A jury found LeBlanc not guilty.
Our standards are very high, and we, and me specifically, are not going to accept a warm body, just to accept a warm body.
Boss said the department is committed to working with the community and other entities to be transparent and build trust following the incident. Once the external investigation of LeBlanc's use of force is completed, the state's Office of Special Prosecutions will review the case to determine if his response was justified. The city and borough of Juneau has pushed back to the eviction deadline for renters living in the historic Telephone Hill neighborhood in downtown Juneau. Residents now have until November 1st to move out. The city's attorney told the Juneau Assembly during an executive session last night. Mayor Beth Weldon announced the change to the public during an assembly committee meeting that followed. It comes just 2 days before residents were supposed to vacate the neighborhood. According to the city's attorney, the city received 2 notices in the past week from attorneys indicating that it did not properly and legally serve residents with eviction notices. Upon review, the city discovered the property management company in charge of alerting residents on the Hill that their rental agreement was ending did so, but did not properly document it. The city and borough of Juneau sent out an October 1st eviction notice in late May. The city plans to demolish the houses on the Hill this December in hopes of making way for newer, denser housing in response to the city's housing crunch. The city does not yet have a developer signed on to the project. Last week, dozens of residents attended the Juneau Assembly meeting to protest a plan to evict residents. Assembly members could have chosen to rescind the eviction notices sent to residents at the meeting, but they declined. The city plans to put out new notices to vacate the Hill Tuesday. An Alaska Native corporation says it has big plans for its proposed $500 million cruise ship port on Juneau's Douglas Island. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
Gold Belt Incorporated is finally sharing more about its proposed cruise ship port on the backside of Douglas Island. Its president and CEO, McHugh Pierre, presented the plan to the Juneau Assembly for the first time at a committee meeting on Monday night.
We have some really big, bold ideas.
Last fall, the local Alaska Native Corporation announced plans to develop the port in partnership with Royal Caribbean Group. At the time of the announcement, city officials said they felt blindsided by the news. But on Monday, Pierre and Goldbelt's board chair presented to the Juneau Assembly in front of a packed audience to explain exactly what's in store for the development called Goldbelt Ani. Pierre says the goal of the semi-private cruise destination is to uplift Tlingit culture and support Juneau's economy moving into the future.
We believe it's our mission to invest in the community, grow opportunities, build certainty, and provide that foundation for families to grow and have confidence to remain in Juneau.
Goldbelt owns roughly 1,800 acres of land along the northwest coastline of Douglas Island between False Outer Point and Point Hilda. The port would be located on about 250 acres just beyond where the road ends on North Douglas. The plan is to develop the port in phases, starting out with basic dock and welcome center infrastructure, before moving into broader ambitions like developing a childcare center, employee housing, and a replica Tlingit village. Once developed, the land would be subject to property taxes. Pierre estimates the project will cost $500 million. Goldbelt says it would catapult the corporation to become the city's number one property taxpayer.
We're excited to contribute to the community, to have a strong community, and to put our money where our mouth is.
Assembly members had a lot of questions. Wade Bryson questioned the Douglas Highway's ability to handle the traffic the port would bring.
That's the thought that is on many of our minds. How do we deal with North Douglas Highway and trying to accommodate this development?
Several members also asked the corporation how it intends to curb concerns that the new port would overwhelm the community with cruise tourism. Pierre says Goldbelt believes the new port will actually help alleviate visitor traffic and congestion by containing visitors at the port. Pierre didn't commit to a firm timeline for when the port would open. That's because of all the hurdles the corporation still needs to jump over to get permitting approvals with the city and other governmental agencies. The project's website states 2028 as its grand opening. The project is adjacent to a lot of city land. City leaders say they want to thoroughly plan for the North Douglas area before Goldbelt starts developing. Pierre pushed back at that.
Goldbelt would be happy to work with the city concurrently, but Goldbelt would not be happy to be sidelined and stopped altogether from development because the city wants to do something on its land or plan something around its land.
The project will need approvals from both the City Planning Commission and the Juneau Assembly to move forward. Goldbelt has yet to apply for any city permits. Pierre says the corporation intends to provide updates to the community as the project moves forward. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center, or CASC, is so far spared from closures coming to a third of these climate science centers across the country, as first reported by the Washington Post. Elsewhere in the U.S., some centers are expected to run out of money soon because the federal government has stalled funding and essential agreements with universities that the U.S. Geological Survey needs to manage the centers. But Alaska Center is safe for now. Kristen Tim is Alaska CASC's university co-director at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She says the center's funding through next summer has already been dispersed.
But of course, we're worried about how long our funding will continue to last.
The center's budget is roughly $2.2 million per year. And CASC signed an agreement with the University of Alaska in 2023 that maintains their partnership through July of 2028, which should ensure the center's existence until then. Tim says that about 25 university employees receive a significant portion of their salary through the CASC. But she says that two grants are on hold. One would have funded communications interns. The other would have funded a study on how climate change could affect a caribou herd that's important to subsistence hunters. She says the center does projects that Alaskan communities and decision makers have asked for.
If we don't get funded, one of the major projects that would really affect Alaskans is the work around the glacier outburst flood in Suicide Basin.
The center funded the interactive website, JunoFlood.com, that helped inform Juneau's Mendenhall Valley residents about the threat to their homes. The center has also funded research around improving wildfire forecasts and how climate change is affecting salmon in the Yukon River Basin. And most of the staff running three Alaskan newspapers in Homer, Kenai-Soldotna, and Juneau resigned in protest yesterday. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the decision came after the paper's corporate owner forced revisions to a story after pressure from a Republican state lawmaker.
The resignations include the regional editor in charge of three papers across the state, the Kenai Peninsula Clarion, the Homer News, and the Juneau Empire, along with the Clarion sports editor and two reporters based in Kenai and Homer. Clarion senior reporter Jake Dye says it's a long time coming. He says he's repeatedly complained about mismanagement since Alabama-based Carpenter Media Group bought the paper out of insolvency last year. But Dye says capitulating to pressure from a state lawmaker, going over the editors and reporters' heads, that's a step too far.
Sarah Vance sent one letter, on a Wednesday night. She probably didn't even put a ton of thought into it and got our story changed. And, what stops her from doing that the next time? What stops anybody?
Last week, Homer Republican Representative Sarah Vance posted a letter on state letterhead to her official Facebook page objecting to an item in the Homer News about an article for the slain activist Charlie Kirk. She highlighted a paragraph that identified Kirk as a, quote, far-right leader with, quote, racist and controversial views. A day later, the story was removed, edited, stripped of a byline, and reposted, without, Dye says, any consultation with the reporter or the regional editor. On social media, Vance thanked Carpenter Media for responding to her concerns after a discussion with the paper's publisher. Vance and Carpenter Media did not respond to interview requests. Dye says he also hasn't gotten answers on what Vance asked for and what Carpenter agreed to. He and the other staff say in their joint resignation letter that the incident undermines their ability to do their jobs.
I feel like I should be able to trust, Carpenter Media, and that's just not what happened in this case.
Dye says the mass resignations leave the three papers with just two reporters, one for the Homer News and another with the Juneau Empire. Veteran Alaska journalist and University of Alaska Fairbanks professor Paula Dobbin says she was shocked by the episode, not just by Vance's pressure campaign, but by Carpenter's decision to give in.
We pride ourselves as Americans on having freedom of the press. And for, you know, an ownership group to just go ahead and alter a news story based on a complaint by a politician without consulting the editor or the reporter, I just think was appalling. And I fully support the staff for not putting up with it.
She says it's especially alarming given the fragile state of journalism in Alaska. It's not clear what will happen to the paper with most of the editorial staff gone, and she says she's concerned that'll leave Kenai Peninsula communities less informed.
I certainly hope that the Kenai is not going to become another news desert because, you know, people have the right to be informed, and there's a lot that's happening down there, and we certainly need coverage of it.
She says she hopes another news source will emerge to fill the void. She points to the nonprofit Juno Independent. That's an online outlet founded by the former editor of another Carpenter paper, the Juno Empire, who also resigned over disagreements with management. Dye, the reporter, says as much as he loves journalism, he's not planning to go independent.
We don't have any plans like that. I don't think the others are really interested in that. We certainly don't have the money for that. I mean, I unfortunately kind of think this is it.
He says he hopes Carpenter Media will invest in its Alaska papers, but he says he's not optimistic. For now, Dye says he's headed to the local job center to apply for a job as a 911 dispatcher. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And for the transparency, one of the outgoing Homer News reporters, Chloe Plesnick, previously worked at KTOO as a morning edition host from 2022 to 2024. And right now in Juneau, it is 54 degrees and partly cloudy, and temperatures should dip down to 41 degrees tonight. You're listening to KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.